This is an iHeart podcast.
Newton Group Transfer. They are here to help you if you're stuck in a timeshare. These stories from people who have these timeshares and can't get out of them, they're shocking. These timeshare companies, not all of them, but so many, they get their hooks into you and you can't give them up. You can't give them up. Or they'll do things like they charge you thousands of dollars. One girl, she got past her timeshare when her mother passed away. She gets past the timeshare, doesn't want the timeshare, doesn't use the timeshare. They tell her she can get out of it for $4,000. She has to come up with a $4,000 check. This is not right. It's unjust. And Newton Group Transfers is here to help you. If you are in a timeshare and want out or know someone who is, call 888-845-3773. That's 888-84-JESSE or go to timesharejesse.com. Newton Group Transfer. They will help you out. The biggest political scandal in American history and the smallest political scandal in American history. And finally, an invention I wish I'd thought of myself. All that's coming up right now on I'm Right. Criminal justice is hard. Crime and punishment, what you do to this guy, what you do to that guy, it is hard. Let's just be clear about something before I go into all the rest of this stuff with Barr and Nunes and Obama and Biden and the whole works. Let's understand nobody in any nation in the history of the world has taken a step back and looked at their country's criminal justice system and thought, man, perfection. We absolutely nailed this. This is the exact right way to do things. It's hard, right? Who do we lock up? How long do we lock them up? Do we tie someone down and pull their fingernails out and burn them at the stake? Probably not ideal. Do we just let murderers go free, like in Colorado? Also probably not ideal. You see, it's difficult. Who do you go after? How hard do you go after them? Societies throughout history have been asking themselves this question. We ask ourselves this question all the time. Is this right? Is this wrong? Is this injustice? It's difficult. It is very, very difficult. So when I start trashing America's DOJ, America's law enforcement arm federally, I'm not trashing America. I'm not trashing our criminal justice system specifically as if it's uniquely bad in the history of the world. It sucks. I just say there are parts of it right now that have taken things too far. And isn't everything about proportion? Isn't everything about figuring out the right punishment and the right amount of punishment? If I come home tonight and one of my sons has left his room all messy, which they're not supposed to do, should I ground him for life and take away every toy he's ever loved? Probably too far, right? If I come home tonight and my son has chosen to spray paint the home with graffiti, okay, you're grounded for life and I'm taking away everything you've ever loved. Everything is proportional. So with that in mind, let's address this issue we have right now. Here's what we know. This is what we know. We know the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the federal law enforcement arm, used bad data to get a FISA warrant to spy on the Republican candidate for president of the United States. That alone, with nothing else attached to it, is a major, major deal. Now, when I say bad data, what am I talking about? By the way, I've never known if it's data or it's data, so I just go back and forth. I'm multiple like that. Now, what do I mean when I say bad data? Well, it came from the Hillary Clinton campaign. Okay, that's bad enough. I mean, that went from bad to worse, right? Gosh, came from the actual opponent? That's not good. And then it came from the Hillary Clinton campaign, and she got it from a disgraced former intelligence agent who made things up. So a disgraced former intelligence agent makes things up, creates a dossier for the Hillary Clinton campaign. The dossier, somehow, some way, makes its way into the hands of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, who takes this dossier down to the FISA court and says, man, look at this bad stuff. You better let us spy on the presidential campaign of Donald Trump. That is a big, big, big deal. And granted, the FBI has never had the most amazing reputation. Some people are uncomfortable with there being an FBI, with there being a federal law enforcement arm, and I get that. And if you're in the FBI, you better get that too. You had better realize people are uncomfortable with the government having that kind of power federally to destroy people's lives. And you've had these major public screw-ups time and time again, as happens. I'm not criticizing everybody. Mistakes happen. But when you have something like this, and it goes from mistake to, what do we call this? Malice? Blatant politicization of the federal law enforcement arm? That's a big deal. And what I've been frustrated with is people involved in the DOJ, people involved in the FBI, including their current director, Christopher Wray, don't appear to be taking this seriously. Well, I mean, we sent out a memo. Well, this is certainly not an FBI problem. Well, hold up right there, bub. It most definitely is an FBI problem. And you saying it's not an FBI problem has the opposite reaction from the public that you want. You say there's no FBI problem. When the whole public can clearly see there's an FBI problem, they look at you, whether it's true or not, and say, swamp rat, there's a guy who's in on it. If you want to earn trust back from the public, you will stand up and say, we've got some real screw-ups here. I'm the director of the FBI. I'm going to get things right. To his credit, A.G. Barr appears to be a man taking this very, very seriously. Here he is.
The law enforcement and intelligence apparatus of this country were involved in advancing a false and utterly baseless Russian collusion narrative against the president. The proper investigative and prosecutive standards of the Department of Justice were abused, in my view, in order to reach a particular result. We saw two different standards of justice emerge, one that applied to President Trump and his associates, and the other that applied to everybody else. We can't allow this ever to happen again. The Durham investigation is trying to get to the bottom of what happened, and it will determine whether there were any federal laws broken, and if there were, those who broke the laws will be held to account. But this cannot be, and it will not be, a tit-for-tat exercise. We are not going to lower the standards just to achieve a result. The only way to stop this vicious cycle, the only way to break away from a dual system of justice, is to make sure that we scrupulously apply the single and proper standard of justice for everybody.
Again, I like that he's taking it seriously. I like so much of what he said there. I like the fact that he has this Durham guy on it. This guy, I don't know him personally, which I know you're going to be amazed by, because you're like, Jesse, you know everybody, you're so world famous. And that's true, but I don't know Durham. But his reputation, honestly, is outstanding. When they took down the Bulger Boys in Massachusetts and they figured out the FBI was actually working with Whitey Bulger, yeah, it was Durham who did all that. FBI guys went to prison because of that. This is a man who digs in. His reputation is he will find the truth and go after you. So all that's good. My only issue, and I'm not ripping on Barr here, but my only issue is what he said there of this can't be a tit for tat. Isn't that what crime and punishment is? Isn't everything tit for tat? If I walk into a gas station when I leave here and shoplift a candy bar, which I certainly might do, aren't I going to get punished for that if I'm caught? Can't I call that tit for tat? Well, just because I did something doesn't mean you should do something to me. That doesn't sound like tit for tat to me. That sounds like accountability. Here he is again talking about the two people I'm talking about, Obama and Biden.
As to President Obama and Vice President Biden, whatever their level of involvement, based on the information I have today, I don't expect Mr. Durham's work will lead to a criminal investigation of either man. Our concern over potential criminality is focused on others.
Okay. I'm going to let you hear from Devin Nunes, and then I'm just going to get something off my chest. Go ahead.
Well, as you know, we've been running our own investigation, House Republicans have, for 3.5 years, and we've made our own criminal referrals. We have not. I don't want to get into who we've specifically criminally referred, so I don't want to play this cat and mouse game, so to speak, but I can tell you that we have not referred either Biden or Obama. So, you know, I'll kind of leave it at that, I guess.
Okay. You ever see those old cartoons? You know what I'm talking about, Looney Tunes. You saw this all the time where somebody has a decision to make and this little angel Jesse shows up on my shoulder and says, Jesse, they're totally right. We need to be above board on all that. Let's not drag the past administration in there. That sets a bad precedent. And you know what? That good Jesse is totally right. But then there's bad Jesse that shows up on this shoulder and he starts whispering in my ear and says, Jesse, screw them. They're never going to change. They're going to go after you anyway. And doesn't it set a bad precedent to allow the president, that was really amazing what I just did there. Doesn't it set a bad precedent to allow the president to be partisan? Look, I'm fine if there's no evidence pointing at Obama or Biden. I'm fine. But what if there is? Are we letting them go just because we don't want to look like big, mean faces? He is the president of the United States of America. At least he was. That doesn't come with a special exemption to commit crimes. That means you're held to a higher standard, at least in any sane country you would be. That's what's frustrated me so much about the DOJ and FBI. And all the malfeasance that's taken place there. And I guess we'll let AG Barr finish the investigation before we scream too loud about it. But you're in the Federal Bureau of Investigation. You're not given a special pass because of that. You're held to a higher standard because of that. You don't get to use bad information to get a warrant to spy on an American citizen and go, ha, whoopsie, whatever. Anyway, we sent out a memo. We're moving on. No. You are held to a higher standard than everybody else, not a lower standard. Barack Obama, if Barack Obama knowingly signed off on an investigation that was illegal, we're not going to hold him to account for that? And I know what you're saying, Jesse, that's a big if. Keep in mind, the man in charge of this investigation, Peter Strzok, we have the text messages that came out from him and that Lisa Page, where he said, very specifically, Barack Obama wants to know everything we're doing. I didn't say that. The guy in charge of the investigation said that. That doesn't sound like Obama was just going along, does it? And as president of the United States of America, doesn't he have a higher responsibility? Clear back to the proportional thing. When it comes to crime and punishment, as president of the United States, if the FBI is going to open an investigation into your political opponent, shouldn't you make sure that they have some real ironclad stuff? I need to see pictures of Donald Trump snorting piles of cocaine off his desk. Here, people, don't give me this might be. Don't give me this dossier. Don't give me I heard from a guy who heard from a guy. If I'm President Barack Obama and the FBI brings me a potential investigation into my political opponent, brother, you're going to have to go down a checklist about 10 miles long before you get me to sign off on that. Just saying. Leon Panetta, guaranteed swamp guy, he had this to say.
Well, you know, it is a political season, so you have to wonder whether or not a lot of this is kind of a political diversion when the country is facing the coronavirus. As to whether or not any of this can be established, I mean, part of this is going to be resolved in the courts with Judge Sullivan, and I assume that there is an investigation going on in the Justice Department that will resolve other issues as well. So we'll just have to wait and see.
A distraction. Again, this is a man, former defense secretary, former head of the CIA. I know these guys get in there in that club. and they get in the special little country clubs together, and they break bread together, Republicans and Democrats. I know the game, people. I know. I get all that. You are not doing the bureaucracy any favors. Not CIA, not FBI, not DOJ. You're not doing the bureaucracy any favors by constantly saying, stop investigating us, stop investigating us. There's nothing to see here. There's nothing to see here. That is causing more distrust. More distrust. I don't believe these people can't see that. All of that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. And I'll be honest, when I think about a weaponized FBI, keeps me up at night, or at least it did. Have you heard of Ebb Sleep? Ebb Sleep is not pills. I've done this before too, so I'm not judging you, but you're laying there awake and it's the third night you haven't slept, and all of a sudden you're looking over and it's almost midnight and you're like, screw it, and you go get some sleeping pills and pop a couple of them, and then you're out and the alarm goes off 7 hours later and you feel like you're dead. I know what that's like. Sleeping pills are a horrible cycle. You get addicted to them and you feel like crap anyway. Stop putting bad stuff in your body. Start trying a wearable device like Ebb Sleep. It applies precise, continuous cooling to your forehead, which puts you to sleep because it calms those thoughts down and keeps you asleep. And when you go to tryebb.com/Jesse, that's tryebb.com/Jesse, and use the promo code Jesse, you get $25 off. Go get an Ebb Sleep. Joining me now is a voice of sanity, hopefully, because I need somebody to bring me down today, Cam Edwards of BearingArms.com. Cam, before we get to everything else we have to unpack, I have this issue. I talked about it in my opening of bad Jesse really, really wants an investigation into Obama and Biden, and not because I think Obama's going to prison, but simply because I think it sets a bad precedent if we don't hold presidents accountable if they step out of line. But however good Jesse can see the point Barr is trying to make when he's like, hey, we didn't find anything, we don't want to set a bad precedent and attack the last guy. What says Cam?
Well, you know, listen, I think that Barr is probably being the adult in the room here, but I understand where bad Jesse is coming from. You know, because honestly, okay, so let's say that there is no investigation of Barack Obama. Let's say Joe Biden wins in November. Do we think that that's going to stop the Biden administration from investigating the previous president? Absolutely not. You know, so the idea that, well, this is going to somehow serve the American people in the future, I'm not so sure about that, because I don't think those are the rules the Democrats are playing by, quite honestly.
I don't assume A.G. Barr, by any stretch of the imagination, is a stupid man. I've been totally impressed by so much of what I've seen so far. I'm mad about the McCabe stuff, but that's another story. So what is it, Cam? What is it with D.C. Republicans? They don't seem to acknowledge the true nature of the left. And there's no nice way to put this. They view the left as kind of the same, just a different political party, maybe some higher taxes. Instead, the left views politics as a live or die contact sport. Everyone else can see this. Why can't the GOP?
You know, I don't know if it's just a function of living in D.C. And these are people that, you know, sometimes you may be socializing with as well. And gosh, you know, they were so nice at that cocktail party. I can't believe they really like to, you know, do awful things to me and my family. If that's why the disconnect is there. But, you know, look, I think we just need to look at who the Democrats have been electing over the past couple of election cycles, the way the rhetoric has shifted, to know that, you know, unfortunately, politics, I think, you know, for the left and I think for the right increasingly as well, it is a zero-sum game, right? It is about winners and losers. It's not about the American people coming together. We can witness the country's reaction to the coronavirus over the past couple of months. And you don't have to like it. In fact, I don't think it's a good development, but it is reality. And if you don't acknowledge the reality that we're living in, you're right. How can you be an effective Republican, an effective Democrat, an effective politician, and frankly, even an effective voter?
What's it like in Virginia right now? I hate to bring it up, Cam, because I know you're stuck there with that tyrant of a governor you have. But I will tell you, here in Texas, I was at a restaurant this weekend. I took my boys out to a movie theater last night. Life is getting back to normal. There are some people wearing masks, of course. Most people actually are not. What is it like in Virginia?
You know, it's, I would like to say that it's getting back to normal, but it's not. My friend in Farmville owns a restaurant. He was really excited that he was allowed to reopen at least the outside seating section on Friday of last week. Of course, now we've got a week of rain in the forecast. The business is back to being in the dumps. Northern Virginia is still locked down. The Richmond area is still locked down. There are a lot of questions about the testing results that have been reported here in Virginia. Governor Ralph Northam is getting a small amount of grief from the press here locally, being ignored nationally for his failure. So, you know, I wish that things were getting back to normal. I took my wife out to a drive-in movie over Mother's Day, but movie theaters are still closed. You can still get takeout, but it's difficult to go inside. So, you know, unfortunately, we are not where Texas is right now. Although I got to say, Jesse, I'm actually seeing people bitching about Governor Abbott keeping things on lockdown. So I think that there are some Americans who are never going to be happy or never going to be satisfied. But I'd love to live in the Lone Star State if I could take my own little 40 acres of Camlandia with me. I love where I live. I just hate the fact that, you know, we've got folks like Ralph Northam in charge.
Well, everything is relative. I live here. I love Governor Abbott. I've always admitted that I love Governor Abbott. I certainly am glad I have him over Blackface Ralph Northam. At the same time, I have always been uncomfortable with, you have to close, you're allowed to open. You can open, but only a little bit until I say otherwise. And the truth is, in Texas, that's what we're getting. And because it's Texas, there's not a lot of appetite for that.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I hope we see more of is this idea of essential businesses versus non-essential businesses. Let's just get rid of that. I mean, we're 2.5 months into a national lockdown here. I think we understand that every business is essential, if only to the owner of that business and to the people who are employed by that business. There really is no distinction between something that is essential and non-essential. You want to have some sort of, you know, occupancy limitations, things of that nature. All right, fine. I can have that discussion. But the idea that we're going to, you're right, pick and choose the winners and losers, those small business owners that get to keep the business that they've worked, and those who just have to watch it die, I think that's the wrong way to go. And I think that more and more Americans are starting to recognize that.
Cam, is Virginia lost forever? You and I have talked about this before offline, and I will tell you, I'm a huge Virginia fan. I love it. It's the birthplace of freedom in my mind. It's also some of the prettiest country in the United States of America. But I look at this D.C. sprawl, and I just don't see how you're ever going to overcome that. I know the southern part of the state is red, and most of the state geographically is red, but you're never going to overcome that nasty leftist D.C. sprawl, are you?
You know, not until we can get more of the D.C. sprawl spread out around the country. I mean, one of my favorite things that the Trump administration has done is to move some of these federal agencies out of the D.C. area and into, you know, the rest of the country. I think that's been absolutely great. And I would love to see the dismantling of the D.C. megalopolis that we've got going on here, because you're right. I mean, if you stand, you know, right outside of the White House and you start walking west, you'll end up outside of the D.C. sprawl about 50 miles away. And there's just this bubble that, you know, encompasses millions of people that really do have an outsized influence on the rest of the state of Virginia. As to whether or not the state is lost, I don't think that it is. If I really believe that it would be or that it is lost, I'd be calling realtors right now. You know, I'd be trying to get out. But I want to see what happens in 2021. We've got a gubernatorial race. We will have legislative races again. We've got a chance to take back the General Assembly. And I hope that we're able to do that. If, on the other hand, Republicans can't get their act together, we see, you know, another clean sweep by Democrats in 2021, I'm going to be a lot more pessimistic. And who knows, Jesse, you might have a new neighbor before long.
Well, come on down. Well, actually, I'm glad you brought that up, Cam, because that leads me perfectly into my next question. We didn't even plan this, folks. It's just magic when Cam and I get on camera together. Cam, I see a lot of this from Californians. I'm moving to Texas. I'm coming to Texas. California sucks. I'm coming to Texas. But they bring their politics with them, Cam. I realize lots of people will come here and vote red, but lots of those people are Democrat voting business owners who are packing up and moving to Texas because Texas is opening up. And what my question is, on a macro level, We're going to see this nationally. People are going to flee these urban areas, which have locked down overwhelmingly Democrat-controlled. They're going to leave Democrat-controlled states. They're going to red states. Is this going to help us or hurt us in the long run? On one hand, Texas is going to get more blue. On the other, blue states are going to get less blue.
Yeah, I mean, you can say it's going to even out. I think in the long run, it is a danger. And one of the things that I would, you know, tell those Californians who are moving to Texas is think about why you're moving. Why are you leaving in the first place? You know, I lived in the D.C. suburbs for 8 years before we moved to our farm in Central Virginia. And I was fully cognizant of the fact that I was the new guy. I was the one coming into a place that already had its traditions, already had its culture. It was completely out of the norm for me to have to deal with hunting dogs running across my property when I lived in the D.C. suburbs. Well, that was something that I had to quickly get used to when I moved to Central Virginia. And, you know, my wife hated it because they chase our chickens, they go after our goats. But, you know, I had to tell her, look, this has been taking place for generations before we even moved here. So we need to respect, you know, the cultures and the traditions of the place that we moved to. And I remember having a conversation actually with the guy who butchered our first hogs, Jesse. And this is a guy who's lived in this area, you know, multiple generations. And he looked at my wife and I the first time and he had this really skeptical look in his eye. But when I went to pick up my pork for the first time, he said, you know, he said, I realized that in order for people like me to keep living here, people like you have to live here. And, you know, there is this symbiotic relationship. But I think if we understand that, you know, we're moving to a place because we don't like where we're leaving, as opposed to where we're going to move to this place and make it suck just like the place that we left. I mean, that makes no sense whatsoever. So enjoy Texas if you're leaving California. Enjoy Arizona, but recognize and understand why you left there so that you can try to keep it a place that that you want to live.
What is the key to a perfect pork chop, Cam? I got to be honest. We've tried it a million different ways. Overcook it every time.
You know, I wish that I could tell you. I will say, marry my wife. That's the secret to a perfect pork chop, because I can't make them, but she can. She every time. We had pork chops last night, as a matter of fact, and she nails it each and every time. So, unfortunately, it's going to be hard advice for people to take, because she's taken. She's mine. I'm not giving her up. But that would be my suggestion.
Give our best to Mrs. Z. We're going to have her on next time and break down pork chops for us. Appreciate you, Cam Edwards.
Thanks, Jesse.
Trump's taking medicine. People are screaming about it. I'll tell you why he's actually taking it and why this is all so stupid. Hang on. Well, we have maybe the lamest political controversy I've ever seen in my entire life. Everybody has heard of this new drug they're using to treat many coronavirus patients. Some people are saying it's a miracle, it works great. Of course, some people are saying don't take it. I'm not a doctor, I went to community college, so I have no idea. I can't even pronounce it. It's just hydro blah, 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 blah. That's pretty much what I say. Apparently, Donald Trump is taking it proactively.
You know the expression I've used, John? What do you have to lose? Okay, what do you have to lose?
So
I have been taking it for about a week and a half.
Every day.
At some point, every day. I take a pill every day. At some point, I'll stop. What I'd like to do is I'd like to have the cure and or the vaccine, and that'll happen, I think, very soon.
And you've had no symptoms, sir?
Zero symptoms. No, I haven't had any. No, I tested. I test every couple of days. They want to test me, you know, for obvious reasons. I mean, I am the president. So they want to test me. I don't want to be tested, but they want to test me. So every couple of days I get tested, and I've shown always negative, right? Negative. Is that the term you use for this, right? Negative. Totally negative. No symptoms, no nothing. But no, I take it because I think I hear very good things.
Okay, this is not some political controversy. It's just not. It is a little weird, though. I don't think I've heard of anybody else in the country taking the medicine, you know, before they actually get it. But understand this, and I've always argued this, and I've had other people argue this. Part of the reason Trump pushed hard on these national lockdowns, part of the reason this thing kind of rattled the administration is Trump personally, remember, All these guys are men at heart, even me. I know you think I'm just twisted steel, but I'm a man inside. Trump's a germaphobe. Trump is a New Yorker. He's a germaphobe. He's watching New York get wiped out by this thing. He famously, long before coronavirus, is not a big handshaker. He's one of those dudes. Probably taking a medicine before he even needs it. A little weird, not a controversy. Who cares? He's a president. He's a billionaire. Billionaires are weird. Nancy Pelosi just doesn't do well on camera anymore.
He's our president, and I would rather he not be taking something that has not been approved by the scientist, especially in his age group and in his, shall we say, weight group, what is morbidly obese, they say. So I think it's not a good idea.
That's a little shot across the bow, isn't it? I gotta be honest, I started patting the old belly when I heard Nancy Pelosi say that. Ouch! Morbidly obese. Look, it's very, very petty. Part of this is probably her just trying to take a petty shot. Part of this is probably she's as old as King Tut. Once you get to a certain age in your life, you've all known people like this. I've known old people like this my whole life. I love it. You get to a certain age, you just lose whatever filter you used to have. You just pop off about something. Look at Biden. He doesn't even know what he's talking about anymore. So it's not ideal to get on TV and call the president fatso, but it's Nancy Pelosi. And let's slow down on something. Let me caution everybody because I hear this way too much. This is nasty. This is too far. Trump shouldn't say that. Pelosi shouldn't say that. Calm down. People like to imagine that politics used to be this gentlemanly game of cribbage. Politics has always been a contact sport and will always be a contact sport. Thomas Jefferson and John Adams accused each other of pedophilia on the campaign trail. Come on. Biden should probably leave the insults to someone else, though, because he sucks at it.
Trump was out there tweeting again this morning. I call him President Tweety. Reopen the country, end of quote. How are we supposed to do that if you're sitting on the money small businesses need in order to stay alive? Stop tweeting about it. Get the money out to Main Street now. It's there. It's been passed.
Everything about it's so awkward. The geese in the background, whoever the poor person was, they just kind of wandered into the shot, just kind of looming there like Bigfoot, and then kind of sneaks out. Everything Biden does is awkward. How is this guy going to be the nominee for Democratic President of the United States of America? How is it possible? Oh, by the way, the geese, there were more geese.
Blinders off of most people. You know, the people who weren't necessarily prejudiced but just didn't focus. That's the geese you hear in the background. There's a little pond out here. And those Canadian geese are trying to get away from the virus. Anyway. All kidding aside.
Can we close the windows so we don't, it's a disaster. It's a disaster of a campaign, and I, for one, am here for it. All right, we're not done. Hang on. Joining me now, editor-in-chief of the National Pulse, Raheem Kassam. Raheem, did that cardigan come with a package of Werther's Originals?
It did. They're in the right-hand pocket. Did that blazer from Men's Warehouse come with a 90% coupon off your next purchase?
You know what? It did, as a matter of fact. All right, Raheem. What is the mood in D.C. like? We have a new poll out, and I don't take it for what it's worth. Every poll is a snapshot. Every poll can be loaded with crap. Everybody knows that. You and I both know this. But it certainly does not look good for the president in states like Florida, states like Arizona, which are kind of important. What are we supposed to make of these? Is he in trouble? Is he doing just fine?
Well, almost every poll is loaded with crap, and intentionally so. Depending on who has commissioned the poll, how the questions are worded, you can pretty much get whatever response you want, depending on who you call, what time of day you call, what demographics you call. I mean, I think most people are becoming aware of that and have been aware of the nonsense of this stuff since 2016. However, It must be said that there has to be something that informs campaigns. And if you look at the way that the president has started to signal more to his base, especially over the, you know, the Liberate tweets and the Obamagate tweets and things like that, you can infer that the campaign may have seen some private polling that is just as bad as the public polling that we're seeing for the president in some of these states. Now, obviously, that may not, and we hope won't bear out in an election. But at the same time, we have to remember we're at the sort of middle stages, I suppose, of an international pandemic. We're at the beginning stages of an economic meltdown that we hope we can start to rein back in over the course of the summer. So it's unsurprising to me that some people, if, when polled by these people who survey them, would maybe hedge their bets against throwing their lot in with the president. But I would also say this. When push comes to shove, i.e. when the real campaigning starts out there in the country, when rallies are happening again, when babies are being kissed, do we actually believe that Joe Biden has what it takes to go toe-to-toe with President Trump on the campaign trail? And indeed, in the national debates, I would say the answer is a big NO to that. And so the Trump campaign will know that it's got some built-in wiggle room, while Biden actually manages to make the most of hiding.
I know that we are facing one of these elections. It's going to be very difficult to call for a lot of the reasons you just laid out. I mean, we got a pandemic, economics. There's so much uncertainty. Trump was walking into re-election as of about 2 months ago. Now nobody knows. And yes, Biden sucks on a level that is astounding. He just is a dreadful candidate. I have this theory that they're just hiding him, and they're going to hide him all the way till November. I have this theory he's never going to do an in-person debate ever. The man can hardly function doing a two-minute Skype interview like you and I are doing right now. There's no way they're putting that guy on stage with Donald Trump. They're going to find some lame excuse. He's at risk for coronavirus or something like that. What say you?
Well, can I just suggest that actually, had Hillary Clinton locked herself in a basement in 2016, she may have won. And that may be the Biden strategy as well this year. You know, keep him locked away. Don't let him, you know, do any major flubs publicly. I talked about kissing babies. Maybe we won't see as much of him kissing his granddaughter on the lips or whatever other weird thing that he wants to try and do this time around. And actually, they can keep him away from real reporters, i.e. keep him away from real questions about Hunter Biden, real questions about his involvement in Ukraine. And bigger than anything else, one of the biggest things that's going to loom over this election is China. China, China, China. What has your public position been on China? Where have you helped the CCP ingratiate themselves inside of Hollywood, inside of US politics, inside of US companies, at the Dow Jones and NASDAQ levels? Because Biden can't answer those questions with his hand on his heart and say that he chose America first every single time. In fact, the truth is he probably chose America last 90%, if not more, of the time. So if they can hide him and keep him from answering those questions, a lot like we've seen with the Tara Reid stuff, softball interviews for him only on that, then he stands a good chance. But again, will the American public, I suspect they will, catch on pretty early on in the game that that's what the DNC is trying to do? Probably so. And will they rank Biden lower as we move towards November the 3rd? Yes.
Speaking of CCP, you brought it up. And I what are we to make of how often the Democratic Party of 2020 merges with the CCP? It's the same talking points. It's blaming us instead of them. Is this just, I almost want this just to be an anti-Trump thing. We just want the presidency back. But I got to be honest, Raheem, it's a little uncomfortable how often one of the two major parties in the United States of America seems to align perfectly with the Communist Party of China.
And I think it's deeply disturbing how much the Communist Party of China uses the words of Democrat politicians to underscore their hits on the president. That will weigh on a lot of people's minds as people start to realize that actually we're further beyond in the negative relationship with China, further beyond where we were even with the Soviet Union. The Chinese Communist Party, as I say, has ingratiated itself within academia, within Hollywood, within corporate America, and well beyond. You have the Thousand Talents Program, you have all of these things that the Confucius Institutes, down to a school level, way through the universities and beyond. And so when people start to look into it, as I'm proud to say that we have started to do and that more people are beginning to do, you're going to see how the Democrat Party has been inextricably linked with the Communist Party of China. Now, it's not all of them. There are some Democrat politicians who have actually been, I found out this morning, Amy Klobuchar, for instance, has actually been pretty good on this stuff, voting in favor to register CGTN, which is one of the Chinese state broadcasters, as a foreign agent in the United States, and so it should be registered as that. But at the same time, you have, and we're going to be popping a story on the National Pulse about this in the next day or so, you have people like Max Baucus, who have been integral to the Democrat Party and who've endorsed Joe Biden, who have been appearing on CGTN to further Chinese Communist Party talking points. So it's all going to come out in the wash.
Raheem, what's the answer? What's the right answer when it comes to how integrated China is with our private companies? Private companies we certainly don't own. We don't want a country where the government owns YouTube. We don't want a country where the government owns Hollywood and the people who make movies. At the same time, it's a little bit concerning when the Communist Party can pick up the phone and say, hey, Hollywood, please rewrite that scene as more pro-China, and they do it every single time. What's the right solution to that?
Yeah, I'm actually far less of a libertarian than you on in that regard. I do believe that the government's role is to protect the nation, and if the nation is under attack through loopholes as it pertains to intellectual property theft, then you have to shut down those loopholes. You have to stop China sending engineers over and academics over to steal things from universities and from Fortune 500 companies. You have to tell Hollywood that they can only take so much money in before they actually have to declare in the opening credits that the movie is funded by the Chinese Communist Party. I mean, frankly, I despise some of these social media platforms, but at least YouTube, when you see something from CCTV or CGTN, it comes with a disclaimer under it that says this is content produced by the Communist Party of China. And if we have to enforce those things at a governmental level, I'm far more of a nationalist in this regard. I say do it. I say the government has one role, and that role isn't to tax you. It isn't to advise you how to live your life. It is to protect the citizens of the United States of America. And if you don't think you're under direct attack and assault by the Chinese Communist Party, you need to wake up.
All right, Raheem, one more time for everybody. Break this down for everyone. What is the difference between Great Britain and England and the UK? And it's all very, very confusing. I don't know why you people can't just lay things out in a clear manner over there. Please try to lay this out in a way people can understand.
Okay, so England, Northern Ireland, Scotland, and Wales are basically like our states, you know, like Texas and California and those sorts of things. Great Britain is the states of England, Wales, and Scotland together, and the United Kingdom includes Northern Ireland in that also. So it's actually quite similar to the way you guys do things. You have your United States, and then you have US territories on top of that, right? It's not that difficult, Jesse, but for you, I'm going to draw a diagram. So keep an eye out on your Twitter feed.
You know what? I'll keep my eye out for that. Yes, that's much simpler, Raheem. I'm twice as confused now than I was. This one includes this one. This one includes this part of the time. You know what? I just want to go. Editor-in-chief of the National Pulse, Raheem Kassam. See you, brother.
I'll tell you what they all include. Cheesy beef on toast.
All right, we're done with him. Cut him off. All right, we got a lot more show coming. Hang on. We have a hot new invention out there. You see, everybody's worried about masks. I gotta wear a mask. Should I wear a mask? This restaurant's making me wear a mask. They're making me wear a mask. And then people were thinking, well, wait a minute. How am I supposed to wear a mask and eat? Cue the most genius inventor ever. Look at this. a little button or something on it that opens up the mask while you eat, keeping all the microscopic bacteria out, but letting the food in. That is brilliant. I should have been an inventor. Sometimes I wonder what goes through people's heads. All right, we're going to do it again tomorrow. Let's see you.
You don't have to dip forever. You know that, right? You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. Oh, that's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work. Gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free. It's nicotine-free. It's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Get a jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, you get 10% off.
This is an iHeart podcast.